Right. Parshas Noach, Tavshin Pe'aleph, 5781. So continuing on with the new theme for this year of each week, choosing a different mitzvah from the Parsha, from the Sedra, gets a little complicated in Sefer Bereishis because many of the Parshios don't have a mitzvah in the Chinuch. So we'll have to find mitzvahs that are connected to the Parsha or that are related in some way, shape, or form to each Parsha if there's no mitzvah in the Parsha itself. And one of those parshios is Noah. So we got a little creative. Instead of talking about one mitzvah tonight, we'll talk about many, many mitzvahs. And we're not going to use the chinuch as a springboard, although we will quote the Sefer HaChinuch because there will be relevant ideas he brings down on this topic. But we're going to talk about the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, the seven Noachide laws that exist. We know Noach is introduced to us in this week's parsha. And we know that there's this concept out there of there are seven Noahide laws, the seven laws that the Gentiles are required to keep. And we're going to go through what they are, talk about some of them specifically. The more I looked into the topic, the more confused I got. It's a very large topic. There's a lot of different aspects to it, not just talking about, okay, what are the mitzvahs? And you know, but what's the relationship of Klal Yisrael to the rest of the world with respect to these mitzvos? What kind of obligation do we have as Jews to ensure that these mitzvos are kept? What's, you know, our connection to the mitzvos themselves? Because we were all Bnei Noach before Matan Torah. So until we became a Klal Yisrael and got the Torah, all the Jews were on the same level as the Bnei Noach. And maybe they got Mara. In Mara they got the Shabbos and different things, but until we go in Mechuyev in Tayag Mitzvos and Moshe gave us the Torah, we all kind of had the same status. So does any of that relationship of Noach still exist today of the Mitzvos of Bnei Noach to Bnei Yisrael? So we're not going to be able to talk about everything tonight, but we'll touch upon it and about many of the topics, and then we'll try to conclude with some Divrei Hashkafa on the Parsha as usual. You have a set of Makaris? Okay, here you go. Welcome. Awesome. Okay, so we're talking about Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach tonight. So, let's first start off with, what is a Ben Noach? How do we define Ben Noach? What does Ben Noach mean? So if you look in the beginning, and I thought I had numbered the Makaros, but then the numbers disappeared. They were in one PDF file, not the other. The ones I printed didn't have them. So the Geder of a Ben Noach, so if you look at the Gemara in Nedarim, the Gemara in Nedarim tells us as follows. Mishnah says, Konam she'eni yehudi net nene livnei Noach. If a person takes a Konam, then I'm not going to get any hanah from a Ben Noach. Presumably a Jewish person is making this, accepting this neder or whatever upon themselves, that they're not going to get benefit from a Ben Noach. Mutter be Yisrael v'asar b'av de kochavim. So it's mutter for you to get hanah, to get benefit from a Jew, but it's asar to get benefit from an oved kochavim. Says the Gemara, v'Yisrael minafik michlal b'nei Noach. Well, how do you know that Israel is excluded from a Ben Noach, from the definition of Ben Noach? Kevan deikdish Avram iskru al shemei. Since after we're makdish from Avram, we went ahead and we're called by his name. And Rashi says explicitly, iskru Yisrael al shemei da Avram. Bnei Yisrael, we're the children of Avram. We're Bnei Avraham. Velo al shem Bnei Noach, and not Bnei Noach. So what's a Ben Noach? A Ben Noach, by definition, based on this Gemara Nedarim and Rashi's explanation there, is anyone who's not Jewish. Anybody who's not Jewish is a Ben Noach. And if you look in the Ritva actually gives three different categories in the next source as to, and actually I see the numbers are on the PDF on the Zoom, but not in the printed copies. So the Ritva in source number three goes ahead and says that there are three categories for a Ben Noach. There's a Ger Toshav, a Ben Noach, and a Kusi. So we don't need to delve into the definition of each one, but he says very clearly that a Ben Noach, if you look in the underlined section in the Ritva, a Ben Noach is Shelo Kiblan beBeistin. He didn't accept the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Noach in Beistin. Ella de Kiblan Shemekayimo Sameatzmo, but he goes ahead and fulfills them. Vehu Nadun Bahem Kamisha Eno Mitzvah Va'osa. And he's judged as if a person who's Eno Mitzvah Va'osa when it comes to these dinim. So just to start off, the framework of what we're dealing with tonight, a Ben Noach is by definition a non-Jew. It's a Gentile, somebody who's not a Jew, somebody who wasn't born Jewish, didn't convert to Judaism. This is the type of category of people that we are going to be addressing tonight, and then discuss the relationship to Klal Yisrael. So if we look, the real makor for these mitzvos of Bnei Noach, these Zion mitzvos Bnei Noach, and it's interesting, I was actually telling my daughter about the concept tonight, and I asked her, do you ever hear of the Zion mitzvos Bnei Noach? She said, yeah. She said, why do we have 613 and they have seven? So we started talking about it a little bit, but I said, you know, they don't really have only seven. And we'll get to that soon. Seven is a number that's used, but seven is a misnomer. It's a misunderstanding, really, of what's entailed, and we'll get to that. And if you look, the makor of the din, the source for this, is really a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which quotes a pasuk in last week's parsha. So the pasuk, if you look in right after makor hadin, the pasuk says, "Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam lemor mikol eitz hagan achol tochel." Right, Hashem told Adam, he gave Adam, who was really Ben Adam, before Noah, there was Adam. So we're all Bnei Adam also. He gave Adam a commandment. He told him, you can eat from everything in the Gan, except from the Eitz Hadas. He gave him the first tzivu, the first commandment was not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And that's what the Gemara Darshins in at the bottom of the page. And in our parsha, though, there's one extra mitzvah of Bnei Noach, which is learned out from the Gemara as well. So let's just see the Gemara in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Vav Amar Aleph, which is the source and the sugya of Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach and Shas. Tana Rabbanan, Sheva Mitzvahs and Stav Bnei Noach. The rabbis taught there were seven mitzvahs that are commanded to Bnei Noach. Here they are. Dinin. Dinin means justice, or some sort of system of justice. Birchas Hashem. Blaspheming God, which is a euphemism. It's not blessing God. It's cursing God. God forbid. Avodah Zara, Gilu Arayos, Shvichus Damim. So going ahead, adultery and worshiping idols and murder. Gezel, stealing, kidnapping, and Aver Menachah, eating a limb from a live animal. So those are the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And if you haven't heard it before, it's always good to chazer, and it's good if you never heard it before, it's good to know. Right, the way to remember them is the big three in Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. The big three being Yarev Gal Yavor, Shvichos Damim, Gilui Arayos, and Avodah Zarah, those three. And Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Eiver Menachai, Berchas Hashem, Gezel, and Dinim. So these are the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach. If you continue in the Gemara actually says that there are many other mitzvahs as well. Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel lo emer, Afal Adam Menachai, Rabbi Chidko emer, Afal Asirus, Rabbi Shimon omer, Afal Akishuf, Rabbi Yossi omer, Kolo omer, Parshas Kishuf, Ben Noah Muzar Alav. So a lot of other this kilayim. There's many other yisurim that are discussed in the Gemara that didn't make it into the Tanur Rabbanan, but that different shitos held in the Gemara were actually also usur for a Ben Noach to do. And if you look down below, minani mili, how do we know that these are usur? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan damar kav eitzav Hashem lo kimal adam lemor mikol eitz hagan achol tochel. And the Gemara darshins each word, Ve'itzav, Elo Adinin, V'chinu Omer, and it goes ahead and there's a whole machlokas back and forth, which word means which din, which mitzvah is learned from each word. But this is the source. This is the source in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, from our Pasuk in Bereishis, as well as our Pasuk in Noach, Ach Basar Ben Asher Adam Elo Sochelu. So now that we have that as an understanding, you know, there clearly is this concept of the Bnei Noach of the world, the Umos HaOlam, the non-Jews, the Gentiles, us believing that they need to, according to the Gemara at least, keep seven mitzvahs. And what's very interesting though, it's codified by many of the Rishonim. It's in the Rambam. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in different cases. So it's clearly how we hold. We view these mitzvahs as existing. It's not just the Gemara that, you know, was 2,000 years ago written and has no lamaisa applications. It's lamaisa. It really applies bizman hazeh. What the nafkaminas are and stuff, and there are some. There are many, much more than you would think at first. First one could think, oh, Sheva mitzvahs bnei noach. We have taryag mitzvahs. Why are we worrying about that? We got enough to worry about ourselves. But no. There's a lot of practical things that come up even for Jews, with regard to Sheva mitzvahs bnei noach. But if you look, there's a fascinating gemara on the top of page two. That page two, the Gemara tells us, it's a Gemara Baba Kama, Lamechesim at Aleph. So the Gemara says like this, Damar of Yosef, Amav Yibner Erzra, Ma Ra, so the Gemara there says, Ra, Sheva Mitzvah Shekilu Aleim Bnei Noach Lo Kimum. The Gemara says, Hashem saw that the Bnei Noach were not fulfilling the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. Amad, V'hitirin Lahem. He got up, and he was matired the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach for them. So this Gemara seems to tell us, on its face, that Hashem was matir the mitzvahs Bnei Noach. They existed. Yeah, there were seven laws. There were seven laws that the Bnei Noach were supposed to keep and had to keep, were obligated to keep, but they weren't. So God permitted it for them. And this Gemara is actually brought down by the Bach. It's brought down by the Pnei Yehoshua. That nowadays, because this Gemara threw out the first Gemara from Sanhedrin, threw it out of the window as a Lamaisa Gemara, that there's no Chiv. But if any Bnei Noach wants to do it, they do it al tzakim of Eino Mitzuveh Va'osa. They're not Mitzuveh, they're not obligated to go ahead and command it to follow Shavuot Mitzvot Bnei Noach. But if they want to, they can get some sort of kiyum for doing it. But that's not how most hold. This is a Gemara. It's a one-liner in a Gemara that you have sugyas and shas that go on for dapim that talk about Shavuot Mitzvot Bnei Noach. So that's the Bach, the Pnei Yehoshua. Many some Acharonim have that understanding, but most Rishonim do not hold that way. And it's I think the understanding of most that the Shavuot Mitzvot Bnei Noach are not just Eino Mitzuveh Va'osa. That if a non-Jew wants to do them, they can. If they don't want to, they don't have to. But that they're mitzuveh va'osa, from a halachic, from a Jewish perspective. And so, that's it's just interesting to know that Gemara, though, that there are some out there that hold that they're not obligatory, b'zmanazah. Here's where we'll bring the chinuch in. So if you look the chinuch in the next source, in Parshas Veschanan, in Mitzvah Toftes Zayin, under the mitzvah shelol yisavos mashabiyara achinu bnei Yisrael, that a person shouldn't desire that which his friend has. There's an isser for a person to go ahead and to want that which belongs to his friend. The chinuch writes shenimnu lekva machshavos yisavos mashabiyara echad meachinu bnei Yisrael lefi shekviyas machshava b'tayv aloso davar yes sibalasos tachbul lakachas oso. You shouldn't want it. Why? You shouldn't want what your friend has because ultimately you're going to want to take it from him. You're going to want to figure out a trick and a way to either you steal it from him, buy it from him, even though he doesn't want to sell it, and you're going to go ahead and desire it so badly, you're going to want it in your possession. Says the Chinuch, and I don't know how many times the Chinuch writes this, but we have it tonight. He says, when he talks about who is this applicable for, who's chayiv in this, so he says, Noheges b'chol makom b'chol zman, b'zecharim u'v'nekevos, Gam kol bnei ha'olam mechuyavin ba. Says the chinuch explicitly, black on white, Gam kol bnei ha'olam mechuyavin ba. The whole olam, not just the Jews, the whole world, the bnei Noach too, are mechuyav in this iser. Lefi shehi anaf lemitzvah zgezel shehi achas min hasheva mitzvah shenitztav aleim kol bnei ha'olam. Because it's a branch. It's a branch of the sheva mitzvahs bnei Noach, it's a branch of gezel. And so the chinuch here is basically teaching us that don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself into thinking it's just seven. They got off easily. It's just seven easy ones. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. No. It's not so simple. Hasheva mitzvahs shenistava lehem kol b'nei olam. Ve'emes she'oson sheva hein ke'im klolos. Says the chinuch, these seven mitzvahs are like klolos. They are general principles. Aval yesh bahem pratim harbe. They have many, many details. And I saw different countings as to how many are the seven. Anyone want to take a guess? What does seven turn into? Seven sounds so easy, but then it becomes a little more complicated. What do you think, Jeff? Think about it for a second. Like I think about like Gilu Arayos. How many Arayos are there, right? Think about Gezel. This falls under Gezel.
It's a lot.
200.
Okay, that's a pretty high number. I don't think that they won't be happy with that. You know, we tell them seven, they're probably happier. So I saw that the chinuch, if you count it up, it's about 60. It's about 60 mitzvos. Our 200 was a good guess, but it's about 60 mitzvos that end up being that were out of the taryag mitzvos. To just be clear, that apply to the Bnei Noach as part of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach.
You say all of Kosher Mishpat falls under
Dinim. So we're going to get to that.
Right.
Jeff's mentioning that, you know, what is Dinim exactly? And that's exactly the next topic we'll talk about, which will kind of determine is that number 60 high or low. So let's see what that is exactly. So most of the mitzvahs are pretty clear what they are. All the details and how, you know, what the anafim are, let's call it, according to like the chinuch's language, you know, that might not be so clear. But, I mean, everybody knows what it means not to murder. And everyone will agree it's immoral to murder. Everybody knows what it means. Now, you know, if you believe in God, you shouldn't curse God. Like, that's not a good thing. But what is this concept of dinim? Dinim is, like, I think it's actually the only mitzvah aseh that's there. If you think about it, right? Iver menachai, Berech Hashem, and Gezel are all los aseh. And the other three, the big three, are also los aseh. The only positive mitzvah there is this concept of dinim, justice. You got to create justice. Well, what does that mean exactly? So there's a famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, which we'll go through now. If you look at the Rambam, in the beginning of, right under machlokas Rambam, Ramban, Mitzvahs Dinin, says the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, Perek Tes, Halacha Yedalad. The Ketzad Mitzuvin Hein Al Adinin. How are the Ben Noach, Mitzuveh, how are they commanded on Dinin? What does it mean? Chayavin Lahoshiv Dayanin Veshoftim, Bechol Plach Uplach, Vechol Plach, Ladun Shvesheish Mitzvahs Elu. They're required to go ahead and appoint and set up judges that will be by each and every city to go ahead and enforce the other six mitzvos b'nei Noach. Ulahazir sa'am. Uben Noach sha'avar al achat misheva mitzvos elu yarg b'sayif. And if a ben Noach violates one of these seven mitzvos, they get the death sentence of the sword. They get the Chayv Misa. And so the Rambam's understanding, welcome Binyamin. The Rambam's understanding of Dinim is that we have seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. One of them is Dinim. The non-Jewish people, the Gentiles of the world, have to go ahead and set up a system in place that ensures that the other six mitzvahs are kept. That's how you understand. That's the Rambam black on white. There's no way to really read it, you know, in the Pashup Pshat differently. You want to stretch the Rambam, you can stretch him in 16 directions, I'm sure. But that's the Pashup Pshat of the Rambam. The Ramban, though, took issue with this. And the Rambam would say, you know, that makes it very limited, right? That limits Dinim and the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach to very, very, very small. It says, okay, there's six mitzvos, six things that you can't do. And then the last mitzvah is somehow making sure that if you do violate one of those six, there's a consequence. You're in trouble. You know, you get a punishment, you're chai saif, and to make sure that the people don't violate them. That's the concept of dinim, is to make sure that the B'nai Noach keep the other six. Says the Ramban, and he's talking about the whole Maisa with Dina. Maisa with Dina and Shechem, it's usually the part of Vayishlach that is skipped over, especially when you're a child. You never really hear about it, you just hear about Yaakov and Esav, kind of like, you know, the whole encounter and the three things that they did to prepare. But you don't hear about the Maisa of Dina. Dina was taken captive. She was raped, and by Shechem, and they wanted to go ahead, and he wanted to marry her. So we know Shimon and Levi came up with this plan. Oh, how could we have our sister marry into a person and people that are uncircumcised? Let's give him a bris milah, and then it'll be okay. And they come up with this. They devise this whole plan. They tell him to do it. They do the bris milah. Third day comes, and they wiped out the whole place. And they take everything. They take all the booty, all the women. They take everything's. And they come back to Yaakov. Yaakov is upset with them. The Ramban there goes ahead and talks about the mitzvah of dinim. Says the Ramban. He quotes the Rambam first. He says, "Rabbi Yishalu, many ask at the bottom of the page, Ech yas asu bnei Yaakov atzadikam amaisa azel lishpochta anaki. How did bnei Yaakov kill all Shechem? They mamish decimated, destroyed, wiped out a whole city. How did they have a heter to do that?" So he explains it. He says the Rambam explains that they were mitzuvah on a dinim, which means they should have set up a system that would have held people liable and punished them for violating the other six mitzvos. And a ben Noach that is over on any of them is Nerag B'Sayif. And went ahead and says the Ramban, so according to the Rambam, Ibn Zen is Chayv Kobal Eshchem Hariga Shehar Eshchem Gazel V'Heim Ro V'Yadu V'Lo Dano. Shechem kidnapped Dina. All of the people of Shechem saw this, right? Shechem is the name of the prince of the city and the place. So all the people that lived there saw this happen. They didn't do anything to stop him. They didn't hold him accountable. They didn't judge him. They just let it go. So they violated Dinim. Shechem violated Gezel. And they all chayv Misa. We could wipe him out. Says the Ramban, it's not so pashut. I don't think this is right. Yaakov, we know, was upset with them. If this is true, he wouldn't have been so upset. So the Ramban's bothered by this. And the Ramban then explains, what's dinin then? It can't be that they're all chayiv misa because they didn't go ahead and hold Shechem accountable for killing, for kidnapping Dina. Says the Ramban, you want to know what dinin is? Dinin means you need to set up a court system. There needs to be rules. There needs to be laws. Not that you need to just keep the other six. About that you need to keep the other six. What do I need another seventh law to tell me I need to keep six laws? They're laws because I have to keep them. The seventh din of dinin is that there needs to be a system of justice. There needs to be a system of justice of all the things that make sense to have, right? Rules of money and rules of lending and borrowing. And a guy says, I lent him money, he didn't pay me back. Well, who's accountable, who's liable? What about all those laws? Civil laws. Laws that can make a society function and not have a chaotic, messed up society. So there needs to be just general laws that just like we have laws, we have a chosh and mishpat, they need a chosh and mishpat. So Ramban is a very different understanding of dinin. Dinin isn't just to keep the other six mitzvahs, it's to keep a lot more than just those six mitzvahs. It's to keep a society functioning, basically, to keep a society going. What's amazing is that the last four words of that line, of that the underlined part for the Ramban, is picked up on by a Shut HaRamah, nonetheless, a Shailas Achuvas of the Ramah, Moshe Isserles, the Ashkenazi Posek. And he takes it and just flies with it. Nobody else does. Everybody else disagrees, but he says he's meduyak in it. The Ramban says ki inyan hadinin shenitzdav Yisrael, like the laws of Bnei Yisrael. Now, how can we understand that in two different ways? What's a different way of what's one way of understanding it? How do we understand it?
Our chosh and mishpat applies to them
more. Exactly. Just said that our chosh and mishpat, our laws, the halachic Jewish laws, the dinim in the Shulchan Aruch, apply to the Bnei Noach as part of dinin. That's what the Ramban says. Ki inyan had dinin shenitztavu Yisrael. And that's what the Ramah says. If you look in the next source, on top of page number 3, so the Ramah and Shut Ramah Simin Yud. And here we have Machlokas in the Shitas HaRamban. What does he mean exactly? So at the end, and I quoted, it's a very, very long tshuva. I did not go through the whole thing myself. I skimmed through it and went through parts of it, but found the meat and potatoes of what I was looking for. So says the Ramah, Klomar v'sover shedinei b'nei Noachin osan dinu shenitztav Yisrael b'sinai v'lachin lomid osan mikra anemar b'sinai v'hakol echad. Keiner l'farish sug yazu. So he says explicitly, their dinim, their laws are our laws. The Bnei Noach dinim, their civil, their court system is going to follow the Jewish law. Not that they're going to come up with their own system. But that's the mitzvah of dinim. Again, the Ramah says, Bedin Yisrael, emphasizing the fact that we're talking about the din of the din of Bnei Yisrael. If it doesn't get clearer than that, a Ben Noach is obligated in all the mitzvahs of all the Dina Yisrael, just like Yisrael and all the Schukim Mishpatim. I mean, then like my Nafkim, you know, almost, you know, now we're like getting, where non-Jews almost becoming like, you know, he's obligated in all the dinim that would be applied to a Jew. You know, now what's the distinction between a Jew and a non-Jew? I'm not quite sure, honestly. But that's the Shita of the Ramah, which is rejected by virtually everybody. Almost everyone, even though we pass like the Ramah and Halacha, this is a Shut Ramah. I'm not sure how much that weighs into Halacha in general, but many, many Achronim disagree with this Ramah. And just to bring one example, the Aruch HaShulchan, in Hilchos Melachim, so there's an Aruch HaShulchan which we all know of, and there's actually an Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid, which is an Aruch HaShulchan. You don't see it around as much. It's not as commonly printed and found Aruch HaShulchan. But it's on the Aruch HaShulchan goes Kesei the Aruch HaShulchan Aruch of the practical halachas lamaisa b'zman hazeh. The Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid took those areas in the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah which do not apply b'zman hazeh and talked about the halachas thereof. So people look at the Aruch HaShulchan, the regular one, and they think, wow, what a Talmud Chacham. They don't even know about the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid that's out there, which talks about everything that's Not in Urchayim, Yerdea, Ebenezer, and Choshen Mishpat. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Pashat, who The dinam ein hakavona kidine hatorah shelanu ella nimusius v'yesh shechok shechikur b'ze aval ha'emes kol shekasa ve'ein la'arich b'ze. He says poshut that the dinam can't mean the Jewish laws. That's not what it means. Dinam means they need to set up a civil system. They need to set up a court system that there's going to go ahead and be justice. People won't be, you know, acting recklessly, and there's morals and ethics in that society and functions, and that's what Hashem wants from them. Not more than that. They don't need to follow every din in Shulchan Aruch. They don't need to know Chush and Mishpat and all the dinim there. That's not for them. That's for us. That's for us. That's why we're Bnei Avram and they're Bnei Noach. And if you look in the Ikarim also goes ahead and says, the Sefer Ikarim says, Sha'afilu bizman ha'metzei Torah Moshe l'Yisrael ha'isanim tzei Torah Bnei Noach l'klal ha'umos. And before, he says, "Hine heim maskimos bin yonim ha'kololam asher mitzad ha'nosin u'shteim nimtzos bizman echad." Basically saying, right, that there's a Torah Bnei Noach and there's a Torah Moshe. That they're two different things. That they might work like kind of side by side, but they're not one system. It's two different systems. And that is the Sefer Ikarim. I don't know how my screen got colored on. I don't know if that was me. I'm sorry. Okay. So that's the discussion about dinim. Moving on to just another point that's there. So we said earlier that if somebody is violates Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, Ben Noach violates it, they're chayev, they're misa. They get killed with saif, the sword kills them. Very interesting Minchas Chinuch at the bottom here in source 15 on the screen that says that maybe Gam Nir Li Pashut, he thinks it's Pashut. Not everybody does, but he does. The Hadi Moshit Eivir Min Achai Le Ben Noach. V'chein shar dvar ha'aser l'goy d'oivir al lefnei iver. Hainu dafko im ha'goy yodea shu eiver men achai u'shar iser ha'ose ha'goy iser. V'im kenu over al lefnei iver. Aval im ha'goy eino yodea klal im eiver men achai, de'ein ha'goy ose iser klal, de'ha hu shoki gomer ve'ein amach shilo klal u'kmavur ha'rambam perik yas yod melchus v'lachan v'lachal. The Minchas Chinuch comes up with a fascinating heter, the concept of mutav sheyeshogi in ayim mezidim, basically, but in an extreme way. That if a non-Jew doesn't know about the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and they violate it, or they went ahead and ate Eiver and Achai, they didn't know they weren't supposed to commit adultery, and they did, they're a shogig, they're off the hook. And so maybe it's been suggested it's better not to even tell them. That's not the Chabad approach. We're going to get to that. The Rebbe is going to be, he's going to pop up tonight, Mirtz Hashem. But the Minchas Chinuch is suggesting that, you know, maybe you're just b'shegeg and the person doesn't know they're violating an Isser, they're not violating an Isser, and you can be ignorant, basically.
Chaim, is he saying that they are putter, or are you saying you're putter from
helping them? From Lifnei Iver? Hainu daki magoy yodiyo shehu iver menachai oshar iser de oisei agoy iser v'im kein hu over alifnei iver aval im hagoy enu yodea klal im over iver menachai de'en agoy ose iser klal. So it's both, I think, because that last line is saying the goy isn't doing an iser at all, so how can you violate lifnei iver? You're right on that point, for sure. But the bigger, I think, you know, point I was trying to drive at is it's eno iser klal for the goy, for the non-Jew. So, and it's based on the Rambam next. Rambam, many others argue. They say, no, this Minchas Chinuch is not true. Maybe if a person doesn't know the Pratim, but they know the general Klalim, you know, then they're shogeg. They have to know something. You can't just say I'm an ignorant person, I don't know anything, and I'm good, I can go my whole life and do whatever I want, and I'll never be guilty. That's not what Hashem wants, that's not how the Torah operates, but it's just a very interesting Minchas Chinuch. So, last two topics before we get to some Hashkafa. We'll breeze through them just because of time. So there's an interesting discussion. What is the relationship between us, meaning Klal Yisrael, and the Zayin Mitzvah Bnei Noach? Before we had Matan Torah, right, we had the Zayin Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and then we got the Torah. And if you look in the Baal Turim, actually, it says the Baal Turim, Yesh Bahem, the Aseres Hadibros have, this is in the Parshas Yisrael, Tuf Reish Chef, so 620 Osios, Keneged Taryag Mitzvos, V'sheva mitzvos shel b'nei Noach. There's 620 letters in the Aseres Hadibros, 613 of Tayag mitzvos, and 7 mitzvos b'nei Noach, 620. V'simonim kasser Torah, Lomar l'chashim adam lo meitar l'shva he keser rosh. Okay, but the Baal Turim says, and it, what you see from the Baal Turim, and it's a gematria, but you see that the Shev mitzvahs b'nei Noach are kind of separate. There is the six myth, there's the 613, and then there's the seven. And if you look in the Rambam as well, the Rambam on top in Perish Mishnah of the Rambam Maseches Kulin Perek Zayin in Simin Vav. So it says the Rambam Mishnah Vav says the Rambam. The only reason Klal Yisrael needs to keep Torah is because it was given to Hashem and to Moshe. It was given by Hashem to Moshe. Not because the Nevi'im before and the Nevi'im got it. We don't not eat Eiver Menachai because it was Aser for Ben Noach to eat Eiver Menachai. Elimination, Moshe Aser Lano, Eber Menachai, B'Moshe Nitzadmei B'Sinai, Shiesha Eber Menachai V'Aser. Mechain, he says also, we don't do Bris Mila, just because Avram was mitzvah in Bris Mila, we do Bris Mila, because there's a mitzvah, part of Tariq Mitzvos, and the Torah that Moshe was given from Hashem at Har Sinai was the concept of Bris Mila. So it's pretty clear that once we got Tariq Mitzvos, Shev Mitzvos B'nai Noach kind of fell away for us. But there are some opinions that hold that we still have a Shaychus, we still have a connection. L'Moshel. The Or Sameach, the author of the Meshech Chochmah on the Rambam, he says the follows. He says, you know, he's talking about a case. What happens if somebody who's not a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah boy or girl, so they're not mitzvah tarig mitzvahs yet, but they have das. They're at a level already where they understand what they're doing and their actions. They're responsible for their actions. They're 10. They're 11. They don't have simanim for Isurei Bia. They don't. And they violate something. Have they now violated an Isser that would apply to a Ben Noach? Because a Ben Noach doesn't have a Bar and Bas Mitzvah concept. Only Jews do. But a Jew who's not at that stage yet, but does some sort of violation because they have Das already of what they're doing, maybe Mitzad the Ben Noach idea, they did violate an Isser, and just as part of the Ben Noach. So it's an interesting point he makes, and it's you know, it's not like we have just Tariq Mitzvahs near Klisa, and it's interesting also, you could say it's a machlokas in Gematria. So you had the Baal Turim who say it's 620 letters in the Aseret Dibros, is 613 and 7. And they say Rus on Shavuos is 606. And she then went ahead, she added 606 onto her 7. Meaning Rus was a Giyores, she became a convert. She had the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Nomach, and then she added onto it the 606. Rus, Reish is 200, Vav is 6, Tav is 400. So now what do you get to? 613, 606 and 7. But wait a second. Then the 7 aren't part of the 613. The 7 is part of the 613. It's not a separate 7. It's not the 620 with the 7 on top of the 613. So it's gematria. It's cute. It's nice. But it's an important point, though, that there still might be some connection or relationship for B'nai Yisrael to the Zion Mitzvah B'nai Noach. And the last topic is really, what is Arach Rayis for the B'nai Noach to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Meaning, do I have a responsibility? We have a concept of Arvus, Kol Yisrael Arivim. It makes us very special. We're all connected. We have to give tochacha to one another if the person's going to accept it in a loving way, hopefully, and in a nice way, not in a way that's going to disgrace him and embarrass him. But I have an achrayus for my fellow Jew. I see him doing something wrong. I'm supposed to tell him. There's a mitzvah hachayach tochiyach esamisech. How does that work with Ben Noach? If I see a Ben Noach violating one of the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, do I have to go ahead and do anything? Should I do anything? So there's really three different approaches that are brought down. One is that, yes, you have to force a non-Jew to keep the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. It's a question, would that chiyuv be on each individual Jew or on Beis Din, which we don't really have b'zman hazeh. But that's the first approach, the most extreme.
Know that one of the questions that were asked to the Rebbe was asked, they asked, because we have a chiv, a Jew has a chiv to teach non-Jews and Shem Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So he told me that because the Goyish world is so so for crooked,
yeah,
we're exempt. As far as
we're exempt, we don't have to teach him, but we should. Interesting, very interesting. Okay, so we'll get to that Rebbe. Sorry? Oh sure, Binyamin was just saying that he heard that maybe the Rebbe said.
It wasn't
One of the questions for the Rebbe was, do we have to teach the Bnei Noach, the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach?
Is it a chiyuv of the Torah to actually teach
Goyim? Right, whether it's a chiyuv or not to teach them, and he said that because they're so, the world's so messed up and stuff, everything's,
we're exempt from teaching
Bizman Hazeh because the world is so corrupt as it is. Which is very interesting. But that's one approach, one extreme. The first one is you have to force them. The second one is that you can't go ahead and assist a non-Jew in violating a mitzvah of Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. You can't help them, right? But you don't have to force them not to. And the last is to go ahead and you just have to persuade a Ben Noach to like follow the laws. You don't have to force them, but you should try. Like, you know, you shouldn't do it. You know, chiyuv. But it's a good thing to do. So let's see the Lubavitcher Rebbe's words. He, you know, it's very beautiful. He says it's obvious this obligation is not limited only to a Jewish court, since this commandment is unrelated to the presence of a Ger Toshav. So the obligation, he says here, it's in place in all eras, even the present, when no Ger Toshav can be accepted. So too, this commandment is not limited to using force. And since the essence obligation is to do all that is in a power to ensure that the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach are kept. And he says, from all the above, it's clear that anyone who has his ability to influence in any way Noach had to keep the seven commandments, the obligation rests on him to do so, since that was commanded to the Moshe, our teacher. So clearly, you know, if you have connections with them, you should go ahead. And he says, if you have connections in the area of commerce, you work with them in business, it's proper to sustain the connection in order to convince them and explain to the person that how they should act and the proper Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And Rabbi Bleich, in his commentary, he says beautifully, he says, despite the absence of a specific obligation to influence non-Jews to abide by the provisions of the Noachat Code, so he holds clearly that there's no actual chiyuv for a Jew to go ahead and make sure that others are fulfilling, that the non-Jews are fulfilling the mitzvah Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. The attempt to do so is entirely legitimate. And I think we can all relate to this, especially with what's going on in the world, Bizman Hazeh. Apart from our universal concern, fear lest the world become corrupt, as the Rambam puts it, it's also very much a matter of Jewish concern and self-interest. Disintegration of the moral fabric of society affects everyone, particularly in our age. We cannot insulate ourselves against the pervasive cultural forces which mold human conduct. Jews have every interest in promoting a positive moral climate. So Rabbi Bleich is saying there's no chiyuv. You don't have to go out to the non-Jews in the world and tell them and force them to keep Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. But it's in our own self-interest to do so because it has a hashpa on how we behave. And just to conclude, we only have 2 or 3 minutes with just some divrei chizuk or hashkafa from the parsha as well. So I think, right, it's brought down that the reason that these are called Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is that the door of Noach, the door of the Mabul, they went ahead and violated all of them. Different, we know there was Hamas, Gezel, they were stealing, but they had a very corrupt society, and they went ahead and violated all of them. And we know that Noach was saved, but it's brought down in the Zohar and the Midrashim that Noach was held accountable. The Pasuk in the Haftarah calls the waters of the flood, the Mei Noach. It calls it the waters of Noach. The Medrash says that when Noah came out of the Teva, he saw the world was destroyed. He went to Hashem. He said, Hashem, what did you do? You're a Rachum Mechanan. How did you destroy the world? Hashem said to him, where were you before the Mabul? Why didn't you daven to me then? Why didn't you call out to me then? Why didn't you cry out to me then? What do we see? What was Noah's problem? He was a tzaddik. He was genat. It was Divrei Shevach, Divrei Genai. Noah's a very confusing character, very enigmatic person. But what we see is that Noah did not take an achrayas for his door. He did not take a responsibility. That's not the way the Jews act. That's not how we, as Bnei Torah, as Bnei Avram, not Bnei Noach, that's not how we view our responsibility in the world towards one another. We have a concept of Arvus. We have an achrayas towards one another to help each other, to inspire each other, to be there for each other in times of need, in good times and sad times, to just be makari of one another in every way, in a loving way. Noach didn't feel that sense of achrayas. And maybe that's the concept of really what Noach, you know, was lacking in the door of Mabul, what caused it to be destroyed. As the Kutzke Rebbe, I think, you know, tells over the Maisa, that he once referred to a certain rabbi as a tzaddik in pelts. Never heard it before. I think maybe it's Yiddish, but it's a righteous person in a fur coat, right? Because when it's cold out, so it's freezing cold, there's two things one can do. You can build a fire, and then everybody shares in the warmth, or you could go ahead and wrap yourself in a fur coat and only worry about yourself. Noach was only worried about himself. Noach put the fur coat on. We as Jews light the fire. We go ahead and we start a fire that brings warmth to others. It helps others. It spreads the warmth of obviously a literal fire when it's cold outside, but also the spiritual fire as well. As the Kedushas Levi says, there's two types of tzaddikim. There's a tzaddik echad, yesh ovid habori baruch hu, behislavus gadol, v'hu le'atzmo, ve'ino makari harasharim liosam. There's one tzaddik who just focuses on himself. It's all about me. He locks himself up in the room. He locks himself in a teva, not worried about the rest of the world. But there's another tzaddik. That's the tzaddik we strive to be. Not the Ben Noach tzaddik, but the Ben Avram tzaddik. The one that goes out and is Megayer. The one that goes out and he goes ahead and he's davening for Sodom, for the Rishon, for the whole city to be saved. Because there's tzaddikim there. And that's the second type of tzaddik Kedushas Levi says. And he says in Parshas Noach, in our Parsha, Noach was the first tzaddik. So we should all have beautiful Shabbos, and we should be zochet to follow in the footsteps of being Bnei Avram Avinu, as we'll go into Parshas Lech Lecha and the stories and all the beautiful Torahs on Avram in the coming weeks, and learn from the mistakes of Noach, and learn from the good too, but learn from the mistakes, and shkoyach everybody on joining, both in person and on Zoom. Have a great night. Good Shabbos.